Hey, friends, welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Heat Press for Profit podcast. Of course, here at Stalls, we always aim for these podcasts and all of our educational content to inspire new ideas for decorators to learn, connect, and reach their own success, regardless of what that looks like, whether you're a home-based business or all the way up to a commercial decorator. I do want to tell you about the Heat Press for Profit Facebook group that you could join for free and be a member of our community if you are not already a member. I know that we stream out to Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as YouTube. But today, I, of course, if you don't know me, my name is Dave from Stalls and Transfer Express. And today I am so excited to be talking to Justin Leader from JC Pro Design in Salt Lake City. So I'll bring Justin on. And Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We actually had the pleasure of meeting at your shop when we were filming as part of our Heat Press Transformation series, where we kind of take an in-depth look behind the scenes at how heat printing makes an impact for apparel decorators all across the industry of some different sizes. And so I think you are our second shop visit that we visited, and we've still got more coming, so be sure you're subscribed over to YouTube. But if you have not seen the shop visit that we did at JC Pro Design with Marshall Atkinson, head on over to Stalls TV, maybe after this podcast, or if you're listening to it on a replay, go on over there, just search for JC Pro Design, and you'll see it as part of the Heat Press Transformation, and be sure to check it out. So, Justin, you guys have a ton going on. You're always so busy. I know we got a chance to catch up a little bit at the Impressions Expo just a little while ago, but I do want to start us off here in our conversation with a huge congratulations. I saw this week or just last week that you won Best Custom Screen Printer in Utah as an award. And that seems like a very, very large accomplishment for what, being in business for 8 years?
Yeah. Being in business 8 years, only screen printing for 3.5 of those. I was pretty surprised that we won it. We were nominated last year and we won it this year.
Oh man, that's fantastic. And for doing it 3 years, so you kind of brought heat printing or you brought screen printing on a little late stage in the game, but could we, and I want to talk about that and those decisions to bring that in, but let's back it up even further to when you got started in 2016, right?
Yeah. It was actually April 1st, 2016 when I got started. Started with a silhouette and standard little 15 by 15 heat press.
And all of that just blossomed out of there. What originally got you into apparel decorating in the first place?
It was actually kind of an accident. I owned a supplement company while I was working in the oil field. And I had quite a few different companies screw up some of the really expensive, like Under Armour and Lululemon and that kind of stuff that we were giving to the people I sponsored. So I was like, well, I'll figure out how to do it. And people started asking me, hey, who does your merch? Well, I do. Well, how much would you charge me to do mine? So I figured that out.
So was it at first like the audience that you were serving? Because we always talk about like when somebody's just getting started to really kind of focus on a niche, whether it be decorating for your another brand that you have or targeting a specific kind of set of customers, essentially. So was it a lot of that kind of athletic wear, the workout, the supplement kind of industry?
Yeah, that's where most of my networking was done, was in that industry. So meal prep companies, personal trainers, gyms, that kind of stuff. So that's what kind of got me started. And then we all know the value of actually networking and joining some networking groups and talking to a lot of people and building from there.
And that, yeah, that kind of helped you expand outside of that range.
Mm-hmm.
Were you doing a lot of advertising or was a lot of it just word of mouth?
I have yet to pay for an ad.
That is, that's a beautiful problem to have, I think.
Yeah, so not many people can say that.
Yeah, no. A lot of people that I know that have gotten started, they, you know, they dump a whole bunch of money into social media advertising or something, or ads in local placements here or there. Which, you know, targeting a local audience is a great niche to get into because now you've expanded, of course, much further than that pretty much based on what recommendations and just the networking that you have around your local area, because you primarily serve like the Salt Lake City area, right?
Yeah, that's the majority of it has been word of mouth. us winning various awards, you know, there's a City Weekly award that's best of SLC, and we won best screen printer. This will be our third year in a row. We've won best promotional products 2 years in a row. And last year we were runner up for embroidery. So this year we're hoping to win embroidery.
Hey, there you go. So like that, I mean, like that's some of the best advertising right there too, where you are getting in those local publications and getting local news and exposure on social media, but it's all organically. And it really ties back to your customers being absolutely wowed by your products, right? And being able to recommend it. That's kind of like a sign of a healthy business, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that my customers really respect about me is I'm not afraid to tell them no if I can't meet a deadline or if I can't get something done in time, and offer different solutions. So I think that's really helped our reputation.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and then so you're looking at it more than just from this custom side. You're not just looking at it as a product. It's not just a manufacturing process, get it out the door. It is actually solving the problem for the customer.
Exactly.
That's awesome. And so now you started with a heat press as a home-based business, and you've kind of grown to other decoration methods. And obviously you have the shop, which is in two locations now, with a little bit larger of the location than we saw on the heat press transformation. So can you just walk us through some of that process of adding, you know, what came next after heat decorating, and kind of what dictated those decisions for you in the early stages of your growth?
Yeah. So starting my living room with a heat press and a Silhouette, and then upgraded to a better plotter, like a Graphtec. I went to a show and looked at print cut machines. I think it was Print United. Well, it was formerly SGIA at that time, but looked at a print cut machine, bought it, remodeled my garage so I could run the print cut machine out of my garage, because there's no way one of those is fitting in my living room. Started doing print cut for heat transfer, as well as vehicle wraps, decals. Banners have always been a really big thing for us. We do a ton of banners. From there, I was in the garage for 2 years, went and looked at a commercial space. And the value of having a commercial space, it's terrifying when you want to move. Signing that lease, guaranteeing X amount in rent every month. But it opens up a lot of doors, and it helps keep separate.
Yeah, the work life and the home life. There's so many decorators that I talk to that are like, yeah, you know, I quit my 9 to 5 to work 24/7.
Yeah. And I caught myself multiple times, you know, working out in my garage until 8, 9 o'clock at night sometimes, and having the two different for mental health is huge.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that not a lot of people take into consideration these days. Now, when you move from, you know, a home-based business to a retail business, how does the perception change with either vendors or your customers? Like, did your customers know you were a home-based business, or did they think you were kind of a big printer that maybe might have been outsourcing stuff or whatnot? Or did you disclose any of that, or has it always just been focused on the solution?
There was actually quite a few that, you know, if somebody asked me if I ran it out of my house, I was honest with them and I told them yes. And I know that there were some customers, some of my bigger customers now, that didn't use me because I was in my home-based business.
So and it does help.
Yeah. As soon as I had the commercial location, you know, I started getting some bigger orders, better customers, vendors paid more attention. So I had one vendor when I was running my home-based business that showed up, met me, and then I couldn't get a hold of again. But as soon as I was in a commercial space, they started showing up.
Come right on back. And like, that's the thing though, is that like so many, like, some of the biggest brands on earth right now, like Apple, right? Like started in a garage, you know? So like I don't see it so much as, you know, it's limiting in any way. But of course, coming from the industry and learning how to like screen print on your kitchen table is where my origins are. So I was in an apartment. I wish I would have had a garage to get started in the apparel decorating industry. So like those perceptions change, you get a little bit more clients, but you talked a little bit about those risks, especially financially, like guaranteeing that you're going to be able to pay for rent each month. How do you supplement, how do you essentially make sure that you're going to have the work for that?
So when I first got the space, I probably had the work, but it means that I wasn't going to pay myself. It was just covering the rent. it was really scary, but as soon as I made that jump, work showed up. You know, you're more professional, you show up more, you're more excited. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. And I mean, in a decent trafficked area, then at least you kind of have some advertising of like, here's your, you know, people see your building, or you have signage out front that says, oh, custom t-shirts, banners, you know, any other embroidery, custom headwear, whatever services you put out there. Right.
Yeah. And ours was actually in a commercial complex, in that industrial complex that I'm in now. My first shop was pretty kind of far back in the corner, but I started getting work from a lot of other people in that complex.
Oh, and that's fantastic too. So then you're looking at those other businesses, and you're selling more business to business. They go, hey, yeah, we got new uniforms. Where'd you get them from? This, you know, there's a print shop right across the parking lot from us. And hey, you guys should go check them out. And then it just kind of grows from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Spreads like wildfire on the grassroots. So you kind of, you know, you start building this customer base, the work starts to outgrow your, you know, your home life, let's say. You get into a brick and mortar. What kind of equipment were you adding along the way here? Was it still just the print and cut machine, a heat press, and you?
Yeah. I did get a DTG in my garage. I got an Epson F2100. I was the first person in Utah to have the F2100.
Oh, wow. And even as a home-based business too.
Yeah. I have a really good relationship with Epson. We've helped them with some of their beta testing and everything. I hired my first employee, and she was actually working out of my garage it was July 2018, and we moved into the commercial space in September.
Okay. So you kind of started hiring employees, because that was going to be like the next follow-up, is like, you get the equipment, you get the location. When do employees start coming into this? But you're saying that you even hired, was it part-time, full-time help to come in and essentially work out of your garage as well?
Yeah, it was full-time. I was also working in the oil field at the time, so I'd be gone for 2 weeks at a time. So having somebody there full-time to run everything, and growing from the DTG, and then when we moved into the commercial space, getting better plotters, we got better heat presses, making the upgrade from like the Caesar press and the other presses that we have to the Hotronics made a huge difference in the quality we delivered too.
Yeah, so like the quality, the efficiency, just the ease of ordering. And I bet, like, you know, as you're moving a lot of apparel in and out, and I know that's like one of the largest challenges for almost any apparel decorator, is like, logistically, where do you put things, right? Because you get all these you know, garments that come in, and you don't know how much space even like 400 hoodies take up until you have 400 hoodies sitting in boxes in front of you, and you're like, all right, we don't have room to move. So yeah. that's definitely a big benefit.
You bring that up, is right now, like next week, we have 500 OGO spinner bags showing up. It's 16 pallets.
Oh man. you're going to need a bigger shop just for that.
Yeah.
That was one thing too, that you'll see on the heat press transformation, is what your shop has kind of grown into. And I know it's even evolved in the year since we were there, but how well planned and laid out it was. So as you are, you know, you have your first kind of commercial location, how important was the planning for, I guess, the future with that in terms of equipment or even staffing?
Oh, it makes a huge difference in your layout. I'm not afraid to ask my employees on, hey, if we move stuff around, what's going to be better for you? When we upgraded to the dual air fusion, that's it showed up and it was a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to be. And so we had to rearrange, and that's when it really got us thinking. So when we moved from that first one to the second one, I went in and measured everything out and marked out every piece of equipment with masking tape.
Just taped it all on the floor?
Yeah. So when we moved in, we could set everything where it needed to be.
Pre-measured, ready to go, make sure that carts could fit through all the aisles and everything.
And it's funny, Danny was actually a big part in that too. He's crazy with systems and processes and efficiencies. So he caught a couple of things that I needed to help with. And so he's been a great resource.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Danny is one of our territory managers out in, I think he's just a little south of Salt Lake City, but right there in the Utah area. A perfect example of the passionate kind of people we have here at Stahls that are always open to collaboration. And you could trust them with that advice and the experience that Danny has. And I know right before we even went live here today, we were talking about some of like the kind of crazy out of the box ideas for even like DTF printing that he's been working on too. So yeah, we definitely love Danny, and he was part of the heat press transformation filming that we did too. And he's been a resource for you for pretty much since the beginning, right?
Yeah. He's the one that actually got me to switch from Caesar to Stahls.
Hey,
so
that's it. Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. Well, Stahls wasn't sold anywhere locally, so I didn't know any better. Started with Caesar, but after meeting Danny and Transfer Express opening up Goof Proof, that's part of the reason that I didn't start screen printing for so long, is being able to use screen printed transfers and the various full color options that you guys had at the time too.
So at the same time here, you had, you know, you were doing heat printing, but you were doing print and cut. You were utilizing screen print transfers for that, you know, the orders that you would typically be probably outsourcing to screen printing before you brought screen printing in-house. And then you had direct to garment. So were you deciding for your customers as like just listening to what they needed, to what decoration method? These were all just kind of tools in your tool belt?
Yeah. And we were actually outsourcing our screen print as well as using screen printed transfers. When there's only me and one or two other employees, doing a 1500 piece order is not fun. So
yeah.
Outsource it to a screen printer and they can do it
cheaper
than we can get the transfers for, really.
Two or three days of doing it. Yeah. And it helps you focus on bringing new customers in, or, you know, solving the customer's problems, or doing those lower quantity orders. Did you start with lower quantity, or you kind of just said any and everything will do it as long as we could get it done on time?
Yeah, we started with lower quantities, which is, as much as I wanted the big orders, it's a good thing I didn't get some of those really big orders in the beginning, as you don't realize just how much time they take.
Yeah. And then, and how much, you know, the margins get a little bit thinner sometimes, depending on what the project is. And when it's just you and somebody else, and you're doing hours and hours of work on this, or days even, you finish it all up, you box it up and go, you start running the numbers like, uh-oh.
I made $7 an hour.
And especially with those lower quantity, you could get a little bit at higher profit margin and stuff that like the screen printing is great for. So you keep evolving. What technology comes next into your tool belt?
Honestly, I'm excited to start using the Fulfill Engine Dual Air. That's probably going to be one of our next pieces of equipment. Probably some more embroidery, but
embroidery you just added fairly recently then too, right?
Yeah. We've had embroidery for 13 months, 14 months.
And that is, you're looking at growing it too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when we did the heat press transformation, you said like, within a year of buying any piece of equipment, that you fill it to capacity.
Yeah, pretty much. it was really funny when I hired my employees for screen print while I was waiting for our automatic presses to show up. And once we got it, you know, it takes a little bit to get through the learning curve and let people know that I have it. And they're like, well, we're slow. Should we go home? And I was like, no, I budgeted for you guys to be here. Don't worry, we're going to get busy. And after about 30 days, it hasn't stopped running since.
Man, that's fantastic. So the planning and the budgeting up front for it, could you describe your process a little bit of that for like the preparation, just for some of the viewers, you know, if they're watching at home and or at their own shop and they're looking to make investments or in labor. So we could say the investment of labor or even equipment or adding capabilities, maybe a new heat press, even software solutions like you talk about with Fulfill Engine. What kind of goes into the planning of that, or how long does that take for you?
So in the beginning, it didn't take me that long. You know, that's granted, hiring your first employee is probably the scariest thing you will ever do. Is somebody relies on you, you have to make sure that you can pay them their hourly wage and all of that. But once you get over that hump, hiring that person and the amount of time that they free up for you is, it more than pays for itself. It's just being willing to give up that control.
Yeah. And being able to trust somebody to do that, right? Because they're trusting you that you're going to pay them, but you're trusting them essentially with the quality of your business then, right? Too, especially as it comes to screen print operators or even somebody operating a heat press or a cutter.
Yeah, heat press is actually almost more complicated than running the screen press when it comes to quality control. You know, Oh, did you pre-press it long enough to make sure there's no moisture in that hoodie? Because it's a really thick hoodie. That hat, it's a waterproof hat. Did you test it? Did you make sure? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Is that stuff that you do up front or keep a log of so that you could easier onboard people into any department?
We're working on our SOPs. That's been kind of a pain point, but our training program is, we actually have somebody shadow the person doing the job or with somebody doing the job for a minimum of 3 or 4 days before they're allowed to do anything on their own.
Oh, that's great. So it's kind of like a little bit of a buddy system, what do they call them in like the trades? It's an apprentice almost.
Almost. Yeah. And we implemented a new policy that the first press or first print or the first piece decorated has to be signed off by 2 people. So there's always at least 2 people in every department that can sign off on the job.
And look at them and go, that's it. Let's roll from screen print to embroidery to heat printing to direct to garment to keep it all nice and organized. But I get, so like those SOPs, just kind of looking at like the timeline of your story. And I know like I tell the story of like the power of a heat press. You'll see it in the heat press transformation too, of like when we look at this, you know, little, essentially a spare office that you were running an entire heat press department out of. And like the profit per machine or per square foot was just astronomical. But like the timeline you had mentioned that even when you hired your first employee, you were still kind of decorating part-time. When did the jump to full-time happen?
I left the oil field. It was Memorial Day 2019.
Okay. So really what, five, we're coming up on almost 5 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. That's, yeah. And then, so your first brick and mortar location was 2019 then?
It was September 2018, our first brick and mortar location. And then we moved. Yeah.
You were even part-time when you had a commercial location.
Right. I did have a full-time employee that was keeping track of everything though.
Yeah. And then growing from there, you moved to your second location, which is are now.
Yeah. The main one that has all the screen print equipment and the video. And we moved there. It was actually September 2020.
So that was so that you've seen some rapid growth. How have you kept up with it?
Very carefully.
I know that's a loaded question.
It is. It's one of those things, we probably could have grown faster, but I would have ended up falling on my face. Making sure that you don't go too fast, take those jobs that you can't get done. A lot of people focus on schools and government agencies. And when you're starting out and dealing with net 30, net 60, net 90, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you got bills to pay. You have employees to feed, you have essentially rent to pay for. And so there's a lot of those expenses that you kind of have to factor into the equation almost before you make them, right?
Oh yeah. And insurance, that was a big one.
That's one I think often overlooked too. And I know some states even have like decorator licenses that are almost like manufacturer licenses specifically for the apparel decorating industry. I know I was talking with a decorator out in California that like that was an added expense that they had never really budgeted for.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we don't have that in Utah. We do have a personal property tax that I found out the hard way. Yeah, they show up and they tax you on everything that you own in the building, anything that's used. So,
oh, wow. So, yeah, so that's the little growing pains, let's say, right? Because with rapid growth, and, you know, if you read any business books, it's kind of like that grow slow and strong like a tree. You know, if you just shoot up real high, the foundation isn't there to help support it with the higher the growth, you know? So like bringing in a lot of the fundamentals and making sure that you could have a base to build the next layer on. So you had mentioned you brought in screen printing kind of as one of the last steps of the decorating puzzle here. Is that when you kind of had to bring on a larger team, or because you still operate with a fairly efficient, lean team? How do you motivate them and retain labor? Because finding labor is one thing, hiring it. If anybody who's ever done it, like it's quite terrifying, right? As you said, and then keeping them there so you don't have to continuously go back through this cycle. Could you talk a little bit about your recipe for success there?
Yeah, fortunately, my retention rate is really high. I don't have people that really quit on me. We have to let them go if we have to let somebody go. A big thing of that is I treat all my employees like they're part of a team. You know, it's if they have concerns or they need something that's going to make their life easier, I will figure out how to get it for them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And in the show too, we show that you were what it's like every 6 months, get them a new pair of sneakers so they're nice and comfortable, personal air conditioners, right?
6 months to a year, depending on their position. Like if it's one that they're on their feet a lot, we'll get them a pair of shoes. And in the summer, those of you that have worked in screen print shops know how miserable hot it is. So everybody has a personal air conditioner by their station.
Being comfortable is a big aspect of that. And even when you mentioned something with like the dual air fusion, what kind of impact does removing the manual labor of closing a heat press for 8 hours a day? How does that impact the employees too?
That's huge. Not to mention switching from, you know, the other heat presses that I had to the auto clams that automatically opened. That saves somebody's shoulder and so much time and risk of damaging garments. And the dual air fusion is probably the one thing that I wish I would have bought sooner. Like that is the number one thing that I wish I would have bought sooner. It's been the fastest ROI.
That's we hear from so many decorators. Like it's the efficiency of it. It's the being able to operate. When you talk about labor, and labor is, you know, typically one of the largest expenses you'll see. So it's like, how much labor to operate two machines? How many employees do I need in this department to fully flesh it out? And you need to free up your own time to be able to plan the next levels of growth. Otherwise, you are working until 8 or 9 every night or 24/7, right?
Right, exactly.
So as you grow, you're bringing on a lot of decoration methods in-house, but you had even mentioned that you were outsourcing a lot of them. You know, even like outsourcing screen printing while you were doing screen printed transfers to the orders that didn't make sense to keep in-house. What kind of justifies that decision to outsource versus in-house? And are you currently still working with any vendors to outsource things? Or kind of how does that process work for you at the scale that you're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. When we started, obviously, we outsourced all of our big screen print jobs that we couldn't do with transfers or you know, when you get those crazy big front and back prints, it's just cheaper to have somebody else screen print them. Now we're in the position, I still outsource a lot of embroidery. For example, we just had, it was 500 hats and 155 jackets with like a 28,000 stitch count logo on it. And us to run it in-house would have taken 3 weeks. So I'm contracted out to a big embroidery shop here and they had it done for me in 10 days.
Oh, wow. And so just you kind of leveraging the capacity there?
Yeah. And depending on the job, we're working on a bid right now that's 47,000 t-shirts. And I'm not going to print those because that would tie up our presses for 40 days or something like that.
That's really pushing turn times out there to be able to help your other customers. Yeah, that is a tall t-shirt order there if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, and you know, working with partners like Sanmar, they have their decorator network. You guys have your decorator network. Sanmar put me in touch with a PSST decorator that's just down the street from where they have to be delivered, so I don't have to worry about shipping.
Oh, that's great. That really, really helps. Yeah, leveraging the vendors and partners of those programs. So with outsourcing though, right? It seems like you built a lot of demand in these production methods before making the decision to bring it in-house.
Oh yeah. I highly recommend outsourcing until you're doing at least enough in profit to justify the payment on the equipment. That's at a minimum. Honestly, I'd go until you could cover a person and the piece of equipment.
Oh, so even more, that's a great strategy to look at it. Cause yeah, you're not going to be running it yourself, especially if, say, you know, you're adding, you have a heat press, you're adding another heat press. One person can't cover both of them, you know. So unless you have a dual air fusion, of course, but technically that's one heat press,
right?
So you've done that for pretty much every decoration method, from screen printing to embroidery, and even outsourcing heat transfers too.
Yeah, the only one that we never really outsourced was DTG, and it's because I was so early adopting it, and people started outsourcing their DTG to me.
That's a good problem to have too. So, but I know with DTG, one of the downsides is the capacity, the time. Are you just very transparent with turnaround times and expected dates to your customers to kind of under promise and over deliver?
Fortunately, in August, we upgraded from the Epson 3070 to an M&R Maverick.
Okay.
Which prints about three times as fast as that Epson does. So our lead times with DTG are, you know, we're working on a 700 piece order right now, or 700 prints, 350 pieces front, back, that we're going to be delivering in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. So that's a tall order, but made a little bit easier with those upgrades. So when you're looking at equipment, you're not just looking at the request from customers, right? Meeting the customer demand. You're also looking at what's going to make the most sense for your business. Which one of those, is there one that you weigh heavily more than the other?
I really try and wait until we have the demand. Until it's, you know, my equipment is booked for, I like to keep our turn times at 2 weeks. Once we start getting further out, that's when I start looking at adding more equipment.
Or outsourcing if it's a kind of out of left field. But I guess if you see that steady demand growing, then it's worthwhile to invest into it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now I did see just recently that you acquired a promotional products company and have kind of opened a promotional products wing. So could you tell us, number one, congratulations. And number Thanks. Two, I know that is a humongous market that we see kind of moving a lot of decorators moving into just because of the profit and revenue potential. Could you tell us a little bit about that decision to bring to, you know, because I'm sure you were outsourcing some of these products and, you know, just kind of bringing that that next flavor of ice cream right into the shop.
Oh yeah. Promotional products. Those of you that aren't doing them need to do them. And I highly suggest signing up with like Sage and PPAI or ASI. I think Stahl's offers a discount if you have PPAI. So having that, and I did do a little bit of promo here and there, you know, somebody wanted pens or laser pointers or coasters, that kind of stuff. Drinkware, I did a little bit, and when Small Lake City Promo approached me about coming in under JC Pro, he and I started talking about it and working through it, and I'm seeing just how big promotional products actually are. It's a whole new world, and being able to just send a PO and artwork, and then it gets delivered to the customer, and you get to keep a portion of it, it's pretty awesome.
Well, and leveraging, you know, the reputation, I guess, you've built as JC Pro Design and leaning on that for, I guess, the marketing aspect of it, even though you're not necessarily paying it, it benefits both companies. So with that other company, are they still kind of handling it under your direction, or are they almost kind of like in-house with you now too?
He actually works full-time for me now. He was a broker. We did all of his screen print and leather patches and that kind of stuff for him, all of his heat transfer. And he and I, we've worked together for 4 years now.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're leveraging that partnership you already had, you know, over the past many years.
And this was his idea. He's like, you know, I'm kind of done being a business owner. I'm trying to grow and the growing pains and everything. He's like, you have the infrastructure. So we worked out a deal and
That's awesome. And I like the next, you know, the next steps, the next chapters in JC Pro Design. And it's awesome to see the growth from, you know, kind of where you started. And we really, really appreciate you. I know I really appreciate you here, you know, kind of sharing the behind the scenes tips, because a lot of these success stories, people will kind of gatekeep and be like, well, if I tell you my successes, I don't want you to have the same, because then we're competing. But that's one thing I really do love about the apparel decorating community, is that, you know, from you to every other of the shops that I visit, to the community online, in this like global economy we're in, there are so many people who view themselves as competition and they're unwilling to help. But here in the apparel decorating industry, it seems like everybody just helps each other and lifts the entire industry up. And it truly does warm my heart. And I'm so happy to be a member of the community here to essentially help decorators out. Just like I'm sure there were decorators and resources that you leaned on just getting started, and the help that you provide to others kind of following in your footsteps, you know, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The community, it's funny, you get one extreme or the other. People that just will not talk to anybody, they think everybody's competition, or people that are just friendly and we all talk and strategize together. And, you know, there's quite a few shops that I work with. We have 42 contract customers. So
that's a good stable.
Lucky to have plenty of people that, you know, I'll have a problem and I'll call one of them and, hey, I know you guys got a bunch of employees too. This just happened. What would you do in this situation? So,
yeah, to leverage those connections, leverage the network, not only to help you grow your business, but also, you know, help you run your business, or even technical questions then too, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. I've met some of the best vendors and reps and techs and make friends with all of them and they help you out.
Yeah. I know in just the short time that we've known each other and been hanging out, that we have some good company and also some great times when we go to trade shows. So that's you said you got started, kind of picked up some stuff from a trade show, and that's one of those benefits, right? As we go deep into trade show season right here, if you're listening out there, look for one in your local area. There's tons all around the entire country, and usually you won't have to travel all too far to see the latest and greatest, get hands-on with equipment and see just the technology that is offered to the entire apparel decorating industry. I know we are running out of a little bit of time, and I've only made it about halfway through my list. I feel like we could talk all day, Justin. Before we leave, I know you talked about like the biggest, if I could go back and, you know, I would have just bought a dual air fusion sooner. Do you have any other kind of biggest impact moments for JC Pro Design where you really went to the next level?
This is going to sound kind of cliche because I'm on the Stahls website, but meeting Danny, that was a huge turning point, and seeing all the stuff that Stahls and Transfer Express had available to us and the resources of being able to call Danny and ask him a question or email him, you know, it's like, hey, this is what's going on. Oh, well, have you tried this? Oh, hey, that worked. It's huge.
That's helpful. Yeah. So kind of just connecting with a rep, the community too, I think is fantastic. But yeah, Danny's absolutely a gem, but we've got territory reps all over the United States. So if you need somebody to talk to, we're always happy to help. And that's one thing I even said kind of in the open too, you know, it's this podcast and of course our content that's built to inspire and help you learn and reach your success. But really everybody on the team here at Stalls and Transfer Express and Hotronics really wants to see the success of your business. So to leave us off with one final question here, I always like to ask this as a question right before we wrap up the podcast. What do you have coming up in the future, or like what are you most excited for with JC Pro Design coming up here in the future?
I am so looking forward to more growth. Those of you around the country know that, you know, finally the market's starting to soften a little bit to where we might actually be able to afford rent on a bigger spot. So we're really looking forward to being able to move and have everything under one roof.
Yeah, because I love the little, you'll see Gary, right? Gary, the little kind of shuttle truck that you were using to shuttle between two. We filmed a nice little montage when we were there about it. And yeah, it would be nice to, while it's cool to have, right? It would be nice to not have to use it, right?
Oh man, it'd be so nice. And you know, the amount of processes and systems that we had to put into place, and we have to have somebody drive back and forth a couple times a day to make sure orders get on either side. So
yeah, absolutely. So when you talk about I see Frank here from SNS chiming in saying hey guys over on Facebook. So yeah, when you say growth, you know, you're looking to get a new spot to bring everything under one roof, but are you looking to, you know, expand any services? I know you mentioned Fulfillingen and you were looking forward to using that. Are you looking to kind of really hit the pedal on e-commerce or on-demand selling then too?
Yeah, we were running some different stores. Previously, we were using Spirit Sale, and I looked at Chipley and then had the meeting with Fulfillingen, and we're switching everything over to Fulfillingen. We're also potentially working with them to be one of the Fulfillingen contract decorators.
As part of that whole network where anybody could essentially flex capacity or even scalability solutions, it makes it incredibly easy to outsource too. What was one of the things when you first started learning about Fulfillingen that you were like, that's the one instead of any other platform?
All the way that it integrates with everything, pulling live inventory from SNS and Sanmar, ordering product at the end of the day, like you can batch order, it'll automatically order the product. It'll automatically order transfers from you guys. It is an awesome product.
And then it makes receiving then even simplified too, when it comes back in, because the system ordered everything. When you kind of scan it back in, the system knows what's supposed to be there and even where it needs to go.
And that was another nice thing too, is the fact that every time it gets scanned, it tells you who scanned it, what time. So you can keep better track of everything and how long it takes somebody to do a job.
Oh yeah. And the analytics as a business owner on the back end, I could see as incredibly valuable, let alone the reduced labor and the simplified flow of in and out of the shop, even with the limited space, you know, that you have now. I wouldn't even say you have limited space. It's just when you're moving so much volume, it becomes a little a game of Tetris, right?
Right. Yeah. When we get these orders where the pallets, you know, and we have to fill every single spot that we have for shipping and receiving, it gets pretty crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just realized that I asked like three or four more questions after I said it was my final question. But Justin, I have to say, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We'll have to catch up soon. I know just seeing the stuff that you implemented from the heat press transformation and kind of the chat that we had when we were at the Impressions Expo in Long Beach just a couple months ago, that we're going to have to come back out and see the great things that you guys are doing. The growth, even it, because it was probably about just about this time last year that I think we were out in Utah with you. And then so just all of the changes that are made within 1 year. And I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things, over the past 8 years of even being a part-time decorator to being a full-time business owner, with how many employees are you up to now?
14
employees and winning awards and getting contracts, and you guys are absolutely crushing it. So Justin, I want to thank you so much for being on. And if you have not seen the heat press transformation episode at JC Pro Design in Salt Lake City with Marshall Atkinson, head on over to the Stalls TV YouTube channel to, to be sure to see that one. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening today. Of course, here we do aim for all of our educational content is built to inspire and help your business grow, regardless of the size of your business, whether you're just starting out in your living room or maybe your garage like Justin was back in the day, or running a shop with 14 employees or more. We want to help in any way we can with all of the resources that we have here at Stalls and the entire network of decorators and the challenges and solutions and success. We love to celebrate and share all of it and solve the problems with you as a partner. So be sure to join the community over on our Heat Press for Profit Facebook page. But until next time, thank you again for listening. Justin, thank you for hanging out today. Always enjoy our conversations. And we'll see you guys on the next one.